Well, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I feel better about the whole thing. Aren't those beautiful flowers? Don't they match my hanky and tie? They had it all fixed out today. God knows how to put it all together, even flowers and ties and hankies and all the rest. It's a joy to serve the Lord on Resurrection Sunday. I'm glad you're here to be a part of it. And I want you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Yeah. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. This passage has been used, I'm sure, today. Our own pastor referred to it in the Sunday school lesson and the sunrise service, which was an outstanding time. And now I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 12. As you're finding your place, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And aren't you glad it's settled right here? It's a wonderful book that we call the Bible. I'll read from it, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning at verse number 12 and down through verse number 22. And I shall read it after we pray together. Our Father, we're grateful today for Resurrection Sunday. We're thankful that we're reminded again that our Lord lives and reigns on high. Thank you for the promise of His coming again. I pray if there be those here today who know not Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that they may come and trust Him. Anchor their faith in Him. Believe that He lived and died and rose again for our salvation. May it be so. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, notice how Paul moves like an attorney to argue the case for the resurrection of Christ. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be the dead rise not, that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Our gathering together on this Easter Sunday reminds us of what it was like the day before Christ rose from the dead. The sky was dark over Jerusalem that day. It appeared to the followers of Jesus that all hope was gone. Etched indelibly on their minds was the gruesome scene at Calvary and the removal of our Lord's body placed in Joseph's new-made tomb with a huge Roman seal stone rolled in front of the entry to the tomb. They remembered the crown of thorns upon his head. They remembered his nail-pierced hands and feet. They remembered his riven side from which blood and water freely flowed. They remembered the Roman soldiers still mocking the sufferer's groan. They remembered the huge stone at the entry of the tomb. And all of these, ladies and gentlemen, were grim reminders that Jesus was dead. But wait! The morning of the third day is coming. And these women that carried the spices to anoint his body were on the way wondering within themselves who will roll away the stone. But look again. The stone has been rolled away. And I should tell you that the rock on the outside of the tomb was not to be compared with the rock of ages on the inside. I could tell you that the resurrection proves that our great Father in heaven was satisfied with a sacrifice that his Son made on the cross. It proves to us that God would deliver on his promise of new life in Christ Jesus. It proves to us that the power of Almighty God is stronger than the power of the great powers of Rome. Proves to us that the power of life is stronger than the power of death. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, very familiar verses 5 and 6, the angel gave to the women the first announcement of the glorious and triumphant resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the angel said. "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." That sentence with just four words, "He is not here," has changed the course of human history. That brought ineffable joy to the hearts of those precious women. And can I tell you, it's brought ineffable joy to multiplied millions of people for 2,000 years. I hope that you will capitalize that statement. I hope you will centralize it. I hope you will canonize it. I hope you will memorize it. I hope you will publicize it. I hope you will advertise it. He is not here. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever-loving head. He lives to grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. I took the topic of my message from five words in verse 14. If Christ be not risen. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. It's empty. It's meaningless. It's useless. It's without any purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saved now for almost 70 years. I was 11 years old when I anchored my faith in the redemptive work of Christ upon the cross. And I've never been sorry. I've never been ashamed to own Jesus. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were all the realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. If Christ be not risen, everything is vain. I've been preaching the gospel of redeeming grace more than 62 years. I've developed thousands of sermons, most of which have centered around Christ, the cross, and the empty tomb. By the way, I know it's empty because I've been there. And as the pastor said in the Sunday school lesson, the angel didn't roll the stone away to let Jesus out. He rolled the stone away to let the women in. And they went in and found the body of Jesus gone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've preached these messages in churches, in colleges, in seminaries, in stadiums, in jailhouses, in private houses, on street corners, and under tents. But if Christ be not risen, my preaching has been in vain. If Christ be not risen, I am a false witness and should be impeached for lying. I believe all of our sins today are under the blood. I believe we've been redeemed. I believe we've been forgiven. I believe we've been pardoned. I believe that we've been justified. I believe we've been reconciled to God. Paul says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But if Christ be not risen, none of this is true. I've been duped. I've been deluded. I've been deceived. We're still in our sins, and our faith amounts to nothing. If Christ be not risen, the Bible is a myth. God is a liar, and our faith and hope are all in vain. My dear parents died clinging to their faith in God. They died embracing the hope that as heirs of eternal life, they would live forever in heaven. During my 35 years of pastoring this church, I buried hundreds of people whose families I assured were safe in the arms of Jesus. I walked with those families away from the graves with the assurance that one day we would meet them on the other side in the land of God's eternal day, where the sun never sets, where we'll never grow old, and where the soul of man never dies. But if Christ be not risen, my parents and all the people that I have buried and the other pastors have buried are perished. If Christ be not risen, we should go to their graves and chisel on their tombstones two words: forever perished. If Christ be not risen, we'll all be conquered by death, never to live again. If Christ be not risen, a crape of death should be hanging on the gates of God's celestial city. If Christ be not risen, we would be of all men most miserable, and the devil would dispatch his demons from hell to torment us day and night. But look at verse 20. Two words. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'm happy that we're alive because Christ is alive. Because Christ is risen from the dead, your faith is not in vain. Because Christ is risen from the dead, you are not in your sins. Because Christ is risen from the dead, your loved ones and mine are not perished. They are safe in the arms of Jesus. They are resting sweetly upon his brow. Because Christ is risen again, I am not a false witness. I've been preaching the truth all these years, and there's no reason to impeach me. So then I will continue to preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, ascended, and coming again in the clouds of glory. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. He's alive, ladies and gentlemen. He is alive. But now, is Christ risen from the dead? There is no crape on the gates of heaven. Death cannot conquer us. And we are the happiest people on this planet. All because Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful Savior. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. I want to give you His word for it. All of you already know that I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. And what better day is there to quote Jesus than His resurrection day? Remember He said in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever, don't you like that? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I hear him say in John 14:19, I'm quoting Jesus, because I live, ye shall live also. I hear him say in the Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. By the way, when you speak of the death of Christ, it's always past tense. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. I feel like I want to say with Charles Wesley, that great hymn writer who with his brother John and George Whitefield started a revival in England that stirred Europe and came to our shores. He wrote, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My friend, let me address you if you're here without Christ today. You're among friends. You're among people who love you and would love to see you saved. And if you'll stay tuned a moment, I've got some good news for you. The risen Savior is willing and able to save you and to redeem your soul from an everlasting hell. Wherefore, He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to wash away all of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to save us from a devil's hell. And by the way, there are only two places you can spend eternity. One is heaven, and the other is hell. With Christ as your Savior, your home is eternally in heaven. If you reject Christ and die in your sins, He said, I'm quoting Jesus again, where I am, there He may not come. What do you want, my friend, for eternity? Let the sinner go to the banker, and all he can ever hope to be is a wealthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the doctor, and all he can ever hope to be is a healthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the educator, and all he can ever hope to be is an educated sinner. Let the sinner go to the historian, and all he can ever hope to be is a historical sinner. Let the sinner go to the scientist, and all he can ever hope to be is a scientific sinner. Let the sinner go to the philosopher, all he can ever hope to be is a philosophical sinner. Let the sinner go to the psychiatrist, all he can ever hope to be is an adjusted sinner. But let the sinner go to Jesus, and he becomes a saved sinner. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Our heads are bowed, the altar's open, invitation has begun. I wonder who'd be first today on this resurrection day, the day that we celebrate our Lord's coming out of the grave, living forever and forever. Who'd be first to step out and say, I would like to commit my life to Jesus Christ? Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ. I've heard about this for a long time, but I've never really been born again. I've never been saved. But God is dealing with me today, and I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Would you just step out of your seat? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to put you on the spot. We're not going to ask you to make a public speech. We just want to ask you to come to Christ. Who would be first to step out and say, I want to dedicate my life to the risen Savior? Who would come and say, I want to commit my life afresh and anew to Jesus Christ? Who would come and say, I want to unite with a fellowship of this great church? We welcome you. We would be honored to have you. Whatever God is speaking to you about this morning, I want you to step out, find your place at the altar, and let God do something in your heart. Father, I thank you for your blessed and holy and timeless word. Thank you for the dynamic of the word and of the Holy Spirit. For those who may have never trusted Jesus, maybe they've tried a lot of other things, philosophy and science and education, and they've tried economics and they've tried it all. May they come and trust Jesus Christ. Those who need a church home, move them in this direction. Those who need to rededicate their lives, may they come. Many, no doubt, Father, have a prayer burden, something heavy on their heart today. A wayward child, the loss of a job, the loss of a family member, the loss of hope, may they come and find it all in Christ at an altar prayer. I pray and ask it in His name.